بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. قال الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وسيجنبها الأتقى الذي يؤتي ماله يتزكى، وما لأحد عنده من نعمة تجزى إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى. وقال تعالى: إن تبتوا الصدقات فنعما هي، وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير لكم، ويكفر عنكم من سيئاتكم، والله بما تعملون خبير. صدق الله العظيم. Under the chapter, the virtue of Al-Ghani Al-Shakir, the wealthy person who makes the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah explains that it is that person who earns his wealth in a halal manner, and he spends it in a manner which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him. We were discussing the verses of the Qur'an in the latter part of Surah Al-Layl, 5 verses of the Qur'an. The translation yesterday we did, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Al-Atqa, the superlative tense of a person of taqwa, that is the height of taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, far removed from it, that is the fire of hell, shall be the one who is most fearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, extremely abstinent. He spent his wealth to purify his soul or his wealth. He does not have to repay a favor to anyone. وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. Motivation is not that he is paying back anyone, but the motivation is purely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted Rabb, should be pleased. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى. Soon we shall please Him. As we mentioned, that there is ijma, consensus amongst the Mufassireen, that these verses were revealed in the praise and in the haqq of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Particularly this section where Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا لِأَحَدٍ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. He is not motivated in order to repay back a favor of anyone. He is doing it purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned that on the advice or instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to purchase and to free Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The great sacrifices, the sabr, the perseverance, the fortitude of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is darbul mathal. It is in fact a glowing example for us. Most of us know the history of the manner in which Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was tortured by the kuffar of Makkah, particularly the one who owned him, Umayyah bin Khalaf. He would beat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whoop him at night with the open wounds, make him lie on the burning sand of the desert, and rocks would be placed on the chest of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu whilst he was physically dragged through the streets of Makkah. His response to this would be, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad, the one Allah, the one Allah. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu purchased Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and it is mentioned in the riwayat that after purchasing him, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Sayyidina Bilal that I have purchased you to do Allah's work. So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded, he said that if you have purchased me to do Allah's work, then free me in order to carry out the maqsad and purpose for which you have purchased me. So on the behest of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately freed him. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as we know, for the rest of his life, he served the deen of Allah tirelessly. He was the one, on the one hand, he was the khazanchi or the treasurer of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was also the first muazzin of Islam. So his freedom from persecution was acquired at the hands of Sayyidina Bilal Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. However, the kuffar of Makkah, after Abu Bakr purchased Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they began taunting. And they said that the reason Abu Bakr purchased Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu and then freed him, which didn't make any sense to them. They said it was because he owed a favor. He owed a favor to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So in response to this, Allah ta'ala revealed these verses in Surah Al-Layl. Then Wama, where Allah ta'ala speaks of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Allah exonerates him in this sense, وَمَا لِأَخَدٍ عِنَّهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تُجْزَى. That this purchase or this act of charity that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu carried out was not motivated by any favor which he owed Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. إِلَّا ابْتِغَى وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. It was motivated by the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr had perfect ikhlas and sincerity. In fact, it is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to the sacrifices and the spending of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyid Hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have repaid everyone for whatever favors they have done for me, except for Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah shall repay him on the day of judgment. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no person's wealth has benefited me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is mentioned in the riwayat that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, that no person's wealth has benefited me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, with tears in his eyes, responded to this and said that, Ya Rasulullah, my wealth and myself are only for you. In other words, my wealth and myself belong to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to say that if I had to choose a khalil, that is a khalil technically refers to a very high level of association. One interpretation of khalil that ulama ikram give is they say a friend whose friendship is not shared. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam is known as Khalilullah. The friend whose friendship is not shared. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I had to choose a Khalil, it would definitely have been Abu Bakr. However, I am only Allah's Khalil. So, but in this, and like we find many, many ahadith in the manaqib or in the praise of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and such acceptance is found in these verses, that if you look at the last verse, Allah says, "Wala sawfa yarda." Soon we will please him. We find that Allah Ta'ala, with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Surah Al-Duha, Allah says, "Wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda." Soon your Rabb will give you so much. Soon your Rabb will give you so much that you will become pleased. Referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here in these verses, Allah ta'ala mentions about Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, that soon Allah ta'ala says we will please Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In other words, with the great, great ni'mat, maqam and position of Jannat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising. So if you put these two verses together, these two expressions, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى and وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, from this we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his close companions. It is very, very unfortunate indeed that there are certain sections or certain groups of people, particularly the Shias, the Isna Ashariya, etc., who refuse to accept the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Na'uzu billah, they malign his character. Some go to the extent, certain sects of theirs, that they even put the label of kufr, na'uzu billah, on Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and other close companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find that such an ideology is not only anathema to Islam, but there is a wealth of evidence in Quran and Hadith that is clearly refuting such ideologies or such ideas. So it is very, very important that we be very, very careful and we distance ourselves, because we find that poison, when it is presented, is not just presented as poison. When Shaitan presents it, it's presented in a sweet manner. And here, what manner is used? The manner that is used is obviously the extreme love for the Ahl-Bayt, the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and the grandsons of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, using that guise, love for the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is part of Iman and Islam. But everything has to be, there has to be a balance. We don't, in our declaration of love for the Ahlul Bayt, we don't go to the extent where, na'uzu billah, we start maligning the other Sahaba, or we don't fall into the trap, particularly with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was Katib Wahi, the scribe of Wahi, and also a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our love for the Ahlul Bayt, we should not go to the extent wherein we fall into this trap, like as I mentioned, of maligning the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the Shia did. The next verse of the Quran, which Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions, Allah Ta'ala says, "In tubdu sadaqat fani'immahi wa in tukhfuha wa tu'tuha al-fuqara fa huwa khayrun lakum wa yukaffiru 'ankum min sayyi'atikum wallahu bima ta'maluna khabir." Unfortunately, due to time constraints, here also the proper explanation of this verse, we will have to defer it, but the translation, when it comes to giving sadaqah, when it comes to spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to acts of charity, one is, there are certain important aspects that we should bear in mind. Some of them we've already discussed, some by way of muzakara we are mentioning it again. One is to ensure that the earning is halal. It's no point in giving charity if your earnings are haram. Voluntary charity is nafil. To ensure that your earnings are halal is farz, it's a farz obligation. So it is important first that we ensure that the earnings are halal. Then, wujuhihil ma'mur biha, as is the heading of Imam Nawawi rahimullah, when you spend the charity, spend it in a manner or in those avenues which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you. Do not make israf. Don't be extravagant. When you spend also, we find in hadith of Nabi sallallahu, start with your family members that are in need. Then obviously there is that spending which is compulsory, zakat. So you will discharge that first. Then comes the voluntary spending. The aspect which is mentioned in these verses of the Quran is when you spend, there are two ways in which you can spend. One is you can spend in a public manner, wherein you flaunt your spending, wherein people come to know, you know, this man gave so much, or he spent, like sometimes you walk into a masjid, you'll see one plaque outside, donated by so-and-so family. So, when it comes to sadaqah, when it comes to charity, when it comes to spending, there are two avenues. One is you can do it in a way where publicly other people become aware of your spending. And the other is to conceal your acts of charity, where you spend in such a manner that no one comes to know. When it comes to public spending, in other words, where people are aware of what you are spending, it's not necessary that this is not permissible in every instance. There are instances where it is permissible, but there are obviously